All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God.
Cool. So we are on part four of our series, looking through Ephesians. I want to start by asking a question. What do you think are the two words? Now, don't answer this because I'm asking for a two-word answer and it could get explicit. But what are two words do you think that annoy me almost more than anything, at least really annoyed teenage Sam, that really just got me going, that got me, oh, imagine this. I'm in year nine. I'm with my lads, I'm with the boys, just chilling out, you know. The lads, you know, all the lads, all the boys, just having a good time. And then one of the popular girls turns, looks at me. Do I need to change mics? Am I okay? I feel like I'm coming through a little bit wobbly. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay, we're there. Anyway, all the lads, all the boys, hanging out, having a good time. And then one of the popular girls turns, looks at me with like the leg stance thing like that and just goes, boys, grow up. And those two words, grow up, oh, they get you right in there. And that would still get me today if someone said to me, grow up. It just hits me right in here. It makes me feel, oh, it just grinds my gears. And yet, here we are in part four, chapter four of Ephesians. And it's kind of a little bit what Paul is saying to us. See, the first three chapters we've been going through, a chapter a week, they're amazing. We're calling the series Sublime. They are sublime. It's full of how much God loves us. The first chapter is all about how we have an identity in Christ. The second chapter is that we're a masterpiece created for good words, with good works. We're destined for amazing things. Third chapter is how can we understand the depth, the breadth, the height of God's love for us. And it's all good and it's all lovely and it's all exciting. And then you flick the page to chapter four and I feel like the popular girls have their leg out looking at me again saying, grow up. Because that's kind of what Paul is saying to us. And he's not doing it in like the popular girl way. And he's not doing it like the head teacher wagging his finger. It's a loving friend or father saying, come on, Sam. There's more of you to come. There's more that I've got for you. There's further you can go. There's deeper you can go. There's more you can mature and grow. And Paul really lays down a challenge in Ephesians 4 for us. I don't know if you've ever felt that challenge before of someone saying to you, come on, you gotta push on. You gotta grow up in faith. You can be so much more than this. I remember 13 years ago, almost to this day, I'm in a field on a camp. I don't know how time works anymore. I'm in my late teens and mid-teens, and the leader of the camp comes to me and says, Sam, I have a picture that God's given me of you as an oak of righteousness. For Psalm from Isaiah 61. And it's like, oh, wow, amazing. Except for me, it wasn't. Because I didn't really feel like a great oak of righteousness. I felt like quite a small little sapling of doubt and didn't really know what my faith was at this point. And my personal life didn't look like an oak of righteousness. My belief in God didn't look like an oak of righteousness. I was full of questions, full of doubts. And yet I was being told, look, you can be something more than this. You can be something more. And actually, I felt a little bit of an imposter at that point. I don't know if anyone else feels like that in the room sometimes when it comes to faith. It's like, I want to grow and I want to be stronger in my faith than I am at the moment. But I just feel, I feel weak, I feel fragile. I feel like it's not all that it could be. And so my response was like, if I worship really oakishly, people will think there's a strong man of faith. If I look convincing, if I stand tall, chest out and say, yes, I am an oak of righteousness, people will believe me. But really, the truth is inside.
for so long I was wrestling, and even now wrestling with, what do I do when my faith isn't as strong as I want it to be? Maybe right now you're struggling with that yourself. Maybe right now you feel like a little sapling of doubt. The good news is for us that there is a precedent across the Bible of that being the case, that Jesus uses people whose faith isn't this enormous, powerful thing. In fact, one story I really love is in Matthew, the end of Matthew. Jesus has died, risen again, and appears to his disciples, and then gives them the great commission to say, go and change the world. And we read about it in Matthew 28. We'll just skip that one. There we go. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now, if I'm Jesus in this situation, right, you gotta imagine, that is your big thing. You've done the resurrection thing. You've got no more tricks to play. These guys have been with you for years now. This is the best. You can't do any more than that. You've risen from the dead. You're standing there like, guys, look, I've got the nails in my hands. I don't know what more you want from me. I'm the risen, resurrected king standing before you. And some of the guys are like, oh, it's just not for me, you know? I'm just not sure. What, anything else you can do, Jesus? Just something more. And I wonder, why did Matthew include this in his gospel? Why not just say, they all doubted and ignore the couple of guys that didn't? We can airbrush over them, it's fine. We all fudge the numbers every once in a while. And yet Matthew puts them in, and I like to think he put them in just for me. He wrote his Bible and included that last bit, but some doubted, just for me, because I'm that guy. I'm the guy that stood there thinking, oh, I don't know about this. I'm not so sure. Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe, but maybe not. And yet, what does Jesus do? He doesn't scold them or tell them to go away. Instead, he just repeats to them. He tells them, here is your great commission. Even you guys whose faith feels like a little sapling seed, go and change the world. And that is a real encouragement for us, that when Paul speaks to us about what it means to grow and mature in faith, it's not scolding us saying, you're wrong for doubting, you're wrong for feeling fragile, how could you be like this? Instead, it's a challenge of, there is so much that God has in store for you. There's so much potential. There's so much that he wants to do through you. And sure, you might feel like faith is fragile, but that challenge is still there. Those possibilities are still there. For some of us, actually, we just need a bit of a wake-up call, a bit of a nudge to say, I do need to grow up. I do need to start taking this stuff seriously, because there are places that God wants to take you. There are things, responsibilities that God wants to give you that require a deeper, stronger level of faith than we have right now. And it's actually not enough just for us to say, you know what, I'm okay with it. I can just take it or leave it. There is a great call on us to say, will you grow up? And so, how do we do this? How does this happen? Well, and we read about it in Ephesians 4, and we can jump on and see exactly what Paul says. He says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So there are all these different people with all their different skills, all their different talents that have been given by Christ to come together to do something amazing and become mature. That God has given us a body, given us a church, given us a community, so that each of us might become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That when we become mature, we can grasp something even more of who Christ is. And when we grasp something even more of who Christ is, it helps us to grow to be mature. He goes on, he says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Then will we no longer be infants. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So Paul says to us, look, I want you as a people to grow, to be mature, not to be infants that are thrown around every which way, that when the winds blow, we get all caught up and thrown off. I want you to grow up to be something more. So what does this look like? What does it look like for us as individuals, for us as a church, to grow deeper, stronger in faith? Well, I'm going to keep on going with that metaphor, so I hope you're not tired of it, of the sapling to the oak tree. Because the Bible, actually, Jesus teaches all the time in gardening metaphors. He was speaking to an agricultural society, so he spoke all the time about pruning and all that sort of stuff that gardeners do. Now, over the course of the next 20 minutes, you're going to learn my knowledge of gardening and all sorts is very limited. People say that we have lots of lovely plants in our house. That's just we got loads, and the ones that survived it stayed. The rest died, and we've worked out which plants we are unable to kill. When I did AS level biology, I had to have extra time with Miss Bull, my science teacher, because I was so bad and I did not understand it. So thank you, Miss Bull, for some of the content for this talk. Because what does a little sapling need to grow? What do plants need to grow? Well, there are a few things demonstrated a little sapling. The first thing that a plant needs to grow is soil. Soil, where you get, everyone agreed? Good AS level? I don't think, this isn't AS level, this is like year 9. But this is as good as I can do. Soil, you've got your nutrients, you've got your water. That's what a sapling needs, that foundation upon which it grows. For us, that foundation that we need in our lives, if we're going to grow in faith, is truth. Now, truth is not a very glamorous word. Truth is kind of a bit of a dirty word nowadays. This idea of truth, we don't love it. We don't love it, especially in Bristol. You know, we're very much postmodern world, post-truth. Your truth is yours, my truth is mine. But there's something about truth which endures. You know, we were singing a song a minute ago. And those words of that song, you might say, you know, my faith is for me, my truth is for me. Doesn't mean it's true for someone else. They can live their life. But if you're singing the song we were just singing, saying Christ is my firm foundation, if you're singing a song that says when everything around me is shaken, there's something here that is true, there's something here that isn't just true for me, but it's true for all of us. There's something that is holding us firm. And we need that in our lives. We need that nourishment. But here's the problem. Soil isn't sexy. It's a problem, guys. Soil isn't sexy. It's dirty. It's if you were to take some flowers, there's much nicer ways to present flowers than in soil. Alexia and Alan got married last Saturday. It was an amazing day. And if Alexia walked down the aisle carrying a lovely bouquet of flowers, it looked great. It looked fantastic. It would have been weird if she walked down with a handful, all the flower girls carrying little mini handfuls of soil with flowers sprouting out from them. The problem is Alexia's flowers, as lovely as they looked on the day, within 3, 4, 5 days, those flowers will be wilting. And before they even come back from the honeymoon, they're probably dead. Apart from the ones that someone dried and that someone pressed them. But the point is this, that it's a lovely, easy, beautiful way to present the flowers. But if you want those flowers to last, if you want them to grow, they've got to be grounded in some soil. And it's the same for our faith. It's much more appealing. It's much easier just to say, you do you, I do me. Your truth is yours, my truth is mine. In fact, it's much easier to kind of ignore this idea of truth entirely, because it's not, soil isn't sexy. It's not something that, you know, it's not easy to say to a friend, I have these claims about, exclusive claims about how you get to heaven. Or it's not easy to say to a friend, I believe that I know something that's true. And actually, that's a difficult conversation to say, oh, I'm not sure that what everybody else believes is totally fine. Because actually, I do think there's something here that's real, that is true for everybody. Soil isn't really sexy, but it is sustaining. And truth is sustaining. If you want to last the long haul in faith, If you want your faith to grow, it has to be rooted in truth. Paul writes about this again. We can go back to that verse that we just looked at a minute ago in Ephesians 4. He says this, instead, speaking the truth in love. Oh, sorry, next. There it is. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him. We have to, as a church, not only speak truth to one another, but receive truth ourselves. And really, that looks like fundamentally reading the Bible, being grounded in the Bible. Matthew 4:4 says that a man cannot survive on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. That unless we're listening and absorbing and basing our lives upon the word of God, our faith is not going to last. And like I said, this, honestly, often that's not fun for loads of us. That's not a thrill a minute thing. You know, some people, they absolutely love reading the Bible. I'm like, I do it and I think it's good and it helps me. But most of the time I'm like, this isn't the most exciting thing I could be doing at the moment. But it's sustaining. And it's less about those big moments of, wow, revelation, something I didn't know before, something that God's revealed to me. And it's more about a slow day by day, just basing myself in his words, just putting my foundations, my roots deep down into what he says about me, what he says about the world. And so we have to, if you want to grow in faith, you have to commit to the Bible, to the truth of God. For me, I've seen this play out in my life time and time again. I don't realize that the Bible's having this effect on me, because like I said, I read it and it doesn't feel like much is changing. And then when everything around me gets shaken, what will stand firm? There's a time, I was 19 years old, and a whole series of really difficult life circumstances had hit me. And for my first time ever, I had these real questions of, I don't know if I can keep on following Jesus. It's just too hard. I was working for a church in a gap year, and I was thinking of leaving because just being around Christians all the time was really, really painful. And then my friend came to me and he shared the story in John 6 where Jesus gives a really hard teaching. And because this is truth and it hurts, a bunch of disciples leave him. And Jesus turns to his friend Simon Peter, and in the moment of vulnerability says, are you going to leave me too? And Peter says, God, where else will we go? For in you we find the words of eternal life. That, for me, is what the Bible is. That's what truth is. It's that firm foundation. It's that soil that nourishes me, that sustains me, that says, even when everything, I might have all the questions in the world about faith. I might not know how any of this works, but at the root of this, at the heart of this, there is words of eternal life. And the only way I can grow in faith is if my foundation is firm in the soil of his truth. So, are you committing to reading the Bible? The second thing my AS level biology taught me in my extra classes with Miss Bull is that in order for a plant to grow, you need soil, but you also need air, carbon dioxide, oxygen, other things that beyond AS level they tell you need. For us, what is the atmosphere that you're trying to grow in? What environment are you trying to grow faith in? If you're trying to grow faith in an environment that is toxic, no matter what you do, it's going to be really, really hard to see that faith grow. You might go away on a lad's holiday with the boys for a week and get up to what boys get up to on their lad's holiday and come back and think, oh, I feel quite distant from God and my Bible reading habits have kind of gone out of the window a little bit and I'm not sure I'll go to church tonight and wonder why did that happen? Actually, for a week, you've put yourself in what I'm sure was a really fun time, but not an atmosphere that is nourishing your faith. What air are you breathing? What community are you pulling around you? For some of us, the challenge here is actually we just want to kind of go it alone. Faith for us is a very personal thing. It's just me and Jesus, just me and God, you know, my time with me and God. And the idea that other people are involved, it doesn't quite compute. But, you know, faith was never intended to be done alone. It's a community pursuit. You have your personal relationship with God, but it's done within community. Paul writes about it again in Ephesians 4. If we go forward, it says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." The Bible doesn't talk a whole load about growing your individual faith. It talks a lot about what it means for us to build each other up, what it means to support one another. It might be that you find yourself a lot of times in environments where the oxygen is actually really difficult for your faith. It might be that you would rather go it alone, or actually, to be honest with you, for most of us, the challenge is that we're in it, we put ourselves in environments where we're surrounded by Christians, but we're not challenging each other or encouraging each other to grow. It says this in Hebrews 3, another book in the New Testament. The writer says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original convictions firmly to the very end." The writer in Hebrews really goes in here. He's like, guys, it's not enough for you just to say, "I can look after my own faith, I can try and build it, you can do yours, and every Sunday we'll get together and we'll say, how, yeah, good, great, okay, carry on." It says you've got to see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. We've got to be, we're each other's keeper. We've got to be looking out for each other. We've got to be asking each other those tough questions. Are you growing in faith? It says there that you've got to challenge. You've got to say, do you have a sinful, unbelieving heart? Are you living in a way that's helping you to grow? The second part, it says, you know, we've got to encourage each other daily. How many of us can honestly say that in our church community, we are encouraging each other daily to walk with Jesus more? For each of us, the challenge is, can we not just kind of, it's not just enough to say, I'm going to surround myself with a vaguely Christian vibe. I'm going to have some friends around me who we kind of wink and nudge and say, you believe the same thing I do, don't you? Yeah, and then we just kind of go bowling or whatever it is we do. We've got to say, actually, there is more to being a Christian community. We've got to encourage each other daily. We've got to challenge each other to grow in faith. Now, normally throughout the year, September through to June, we meet in hubs, our small groups, where we really want this stuff to be happening. Right now, we're taking a break for summer, but there are still ways you could do that. What if on a Sunday, it wasn't just turning up, sing some songs, listen to the talk and go home? What if you came with a mindset of, how can I challenge someone today? How can I encourage someone today? Who can I see at church and say, I'm going to encourage them, I'm going to pray for them, I'm going to build them up in faith. Why? Because I've got to see to it. I've got to make sure. I've got skin in the game here. I want to make sure my brothers and my sisters are living with hearts that are open to God. Why don't you text a friend this week and say explicitly, why don't we hang out and can we talk about God stuff? You might have been friends with a Christian for the last 5 years and you've kind of acknowledged that we go to the same church, but we've never just met up to talk about God's stuff. I've got questions. I've got things I'm thinking about. I need to be challenged. I need to be poked. I need to be prodded. There are so many ways that as a community we can do this for one another, but it's more than just coexisting. It's a community where we challenge one another. We need the air of community. And finally, we see in my AS level biology that you need light for that good old photosynthesis. Over and over, the Bible, especially John, kind of refer to light and love and God's love as these two synonyms for one another. And we spoke about this last week, that actually we need God's love. And it seems like such a simple idea. But I think if you haven't watched Philip's talk from last week or you weren't here, go back, watch it. Because the truth is, as Philip said, the biggest challenge for us in our lives is to understand how deep, how wide, how long, how high God's love is for us. It says this in Ephesians 4. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What Paul says here is that there's this love that we have, but it comes from him, from Christ. See, for me, when I think about growing in faith, immediately, I don't know who else is like this. I don't know if there's any of my task-oriented, goal-focused friends out here. Anyone with a love the to-do list, anyone with a Trello board, you're my people. When I think about growing strong in faith, in my mind, I kind of go to a mode of, yes, I'm going to do things. I'm going to squeeze and push and try. I'm going to change things. I'm going to do something to grow in faith. And I immediately go to thinking, right, how do I tense really, really hard until I grow into an oak? How do I make sure that I'm building my faith? And the truth is that so much of our growth as Christians, maturity in love, isn't about what we do for Christ. It's about what we receive from him. Are we willing? Are we able? Are we putting ourselves into positions to receive God's love for us? We got a guy, a friend of mine, Chad, living with me and Hannah. I know, big cheer. There's a few Chad fans down here. Lovely guy. If you're watching, Chad, then hello. Matt Miles is your biggest fan, but you already know that. He has an orchid, I don't know how you say it. It has, you know, those flowers die real quick, right? They fall off, and he wanted to try and revive it. And so he thought, I will put it in the bathroom. Something to do with humidity or something like that. Or he just likes showering with an orchid. I don't know. But the idea was, yeah, great. I'll put it there and the flowers will grow back again. And he asked me after a week, you know, what do you think of the orchid being in the bathroom? And I said, Chad, I love the vibe it's bringing. It's probably good for us, but there are no windows, buddy. There is no way that any light is getting in there. And pretty soon you're going to have a very dead orchid. And for us, that's the truth, that we try really hard. We want to do the best. We want to do our right things. But we're not putting ourselves in positions to receive God's love. We're so focused on what can I do? And God's saying, wait. When do we say about what you can do? I'm here trying to give you something. I'm here trying to offer you a love that you can't even understand. And so my question to you is, are you allowing God's love to reach you? Are you putting yourself in positions? Are you carving out time? Are you making yourself available? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to come and reveal to you just how much God loves you? You've got the soil that is a foundation. You've got community, which is the air that sustains us and encourages us. But love will transform you. The surefire way to experience yourself growing in faith is to really deeply experience the love of God for yourself. And there is nothing more he wants for you than to experience his love. Paul goes on, and in the rest of Ephesians 4, he gives a bit of a, it becomes a, more and more challenging. And he says, you know, this is actually what it looks like to live out this mature Christian life. This is what it means for your lifestyle. This is what it means for the way that that you live. And he does that not because he's a taskmaster, not because he's being like the popular girls just standing saying, grow up. He does it because he says, you know, there is so much more for you. And each person in this room, there is so much that God wants for you in your faith. Whether you're here of no faith at all, you're just exploring, just having a look in, or whether you're someone who's been committed for a long time, there is more to come. There's deeper levels, there's a deeper strength and maturity of faith that God wants to give you. And so each week we've been doing a challenge around Ephesians. And this week our challenge for Ephesians 4 is to read Ephesians 4 every day and ask God, proactively saying, God, will you point out to me where you want me to grow? And that might be in some of the stuff we've looked at tonight. That might be in some of the instructions on what it looks like to live mature lives. Or it might just be something else in your life that the Holy Spirit points out. But each day, sit down with the intention of asking God, okay, speak to me. Where in my life, where in my faith do you want me to grow? Our big idea for this week is this, that God calls us to maturity in faith. This means being rooted in truth, surrounded by community, and receiving God's love. What I want to do now, if it's okay for you guys, just give a bit of space. One of the great things about summertime, we've got a slightly stripped back schedule. We've got a bit more time. And so I'd love to be able to pray. We'd love to be able to pray together, invite the Holy Spirit to meet with us. So I'm going to invite the band up just to be ready. But I'm going to pray for us. So why don't you stand as well, if you're able.